It's good to be here. We're going to talk about the quest, living out the vision of, thank you, worship team. We're living out the vision of Dighton Wesleyan Church. And so we're grateful for that. It's kind of interesting. I've made this is my seventh trip out of 9 weeks heading up this direction that you've been able to put up with me. Some of you didn't make it through the storms that I did. So, but anyway, we were joking about it last week. This is the first Sunday in the 7 weeks that I've come that we've not had snow. Well, maybe you can blame me, but somebody told me last week, if you're going to have a sliding party at Dighton Wesleyan Church, you're going to invite me to come because it's guarantee of snow. But it seems that way. But anyway, I just want you to know it's been a privilege and a joy to be with you. Dighton Wesleyan Church has always had just a good place in our heart. I'll mention about our earliest connection with your church a long time ago. But also, just as I had opportunity to serve as district superintendent and be involved in ministry with your church, and to be able to just live out life and to know things. So, and we have stories and jokes and things like that, don't we, Kim? So that we share every once in a while. But we're grateful for that. So grateful for God's blessing. So thank you for us being with you. My wife Denise is here again, and every week that I come, several people say, "Where's Denise?" So it's almost a regular thing. Where's Denise? So Denise came with me and our girls, our grandgirls, Leah and Lucy. And Lucy doesn't necessarily like the long. Leah's come up with me several times, but Lucy would prefer going to her home church because at this time they're already home. And so by the time I get up and arrive here, they're already back home. So from worship coming at Inspire Church. So quest, living out the vision. I put the DWC vision, if you see on the left hand on that side, to launch, to what? To liberate, to lead, and to launch. Now, if somebody asked you what our church is about, you should be able to say that. Now, I shortened it a little bit there. It says, love people, allow God to bring liberation, lead them in discipleship, and launch them in ministry. Now, you should be able to say that the quest of our church desires to do what? We desire to love people. We desire to liberate people through the message of Jesus Christ. We desire to what? To lead them, and so that they will be led, that together be led, and so that we'll launch ministries and make a difference. Anyway, nobody told me that I needed to say that. I just sensed as we followed through this particular ministry and as we prepare for what's ahead, that's what God. So what is a quest? According to vocabulary.com, a quest is all about seeking something important, and it often involves a journey. So what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind as you think about a quest? It might be some might experience to traverse a high mountain that was kind of in the distance there in the picture. Some might think about the opportunity that of challenges that are before us. For some, it's a quest this week to get Pastor Dylan and Heidi and the kids from Ohio up here. And so it's also be a quest to make sure that they understand that this is Michigan State territory too, to let them understand that. It might be to accomplish some goal, to complete some assignment, to compete, or to be in a journey of life. Dighton Wesleyan Church is on a quest, a journey that will include a new pastor, Dylan Kelly, a new family, a new excitement, new challenges, and to achieve new heights of serving God in a community and beyond. The quest is to have the vision of Dighton Wesleyan Church be vibrant and be reaching, to love people, to allow God to bring liberation, lead them in discipleship, and launch them into ministry. The scripture that I want to read this morning is coming from James 3:13-18. It's a scripture that we will apply to our spiritual journey, and I hope that you do that in your life as you walk with God. Do I have the scripture on the next couple slides? Yes. So who is God, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So the last 3 weeks we've been sharing about fasting and prayer, following applicable spiritual truth in our walk with God. We focused on our own spiritual walk. Remember, that was the commitment that I asked us to make last week, to be committed to focus on our spiritual walk, and that we would be reaching the people of this community and beyond, that we'd be praying for the transition of Pastor Kelly and his family, and we'd pray for unity and wisdom for the leadership of Dighton Wesleyan Church. That was the challenge of this fast. Today, the message is about following Jesus as his disciples that brings about a healthy spiritual life. My first connection with Dighton Wesleyan Church took place about 48, 49 years ago. Now, some of you said, wow, you're an old guy. Yeah, I'm an old guy, as it is. So I was new as a pastor at Heart Wesleyan Church. I got involved in youth ministry in our district. That's how I knew some other people like Phil and Angie and Lisa and others. I won't tell stories about them. So anyway, but if you have enough money, it might anyway, we'll go there. But anyway, have some wonderful relationships with the students and things like that. So I was a relatively new pastor in the district. And your pastor at that time was Alvin and Becky Wooters. Anybody remember them? Alvin and Becky Wooters? Yeah. So Alvin and Becky Wooters, and we were serving on the district youth committee together. And so we came to Dighton Wesleyan. We came to Dighton and found Dighton. Can you believe that? It was better coming to Dighton than the first time I ever went to Luther, let me tell you. This isn't in my notes, but we decided I was coming from Hart, and we had somebody that was coming from Houghton Lake, and we went up north, and somebody from, anyway, so we decided to meet in Luther. Imagine that. So the only place to meet in Luther we didn't know was, I think, the Bar Tavern downtown, things like that. So three or four of us were already present in that particular place waiting. It was a lunchtime. And so Pastor Jim Salo, I don't know if that name means anything, he was driving a white Mustang, and he came into Luther hot. I mean, spun his tires and pulled into the parking lot. Anyway, when he came in, somebody from Luther also came in and told us we were not welcome in Luther. Said, we don't like your type of people. I think they were talking to Jim more than the rest of us. We don't appreciate people coming in and running into town. Anyway, so we got up and left and went to Cadillac, where we thought we would. Anyway, it's not in my notes. That was my introduction to Luther. So if you know anything about Luther, some of you are very connected. We won't talk about redneck, but I understood about that. But anyway, that was my introduction into this particular community. But anyway, so we think about wisdom, and it says, if anyone asks for wisdom, let him ask for it freely, right? Sometimes we don't do that. When I was 21 years old, I began pastoring the Heart Wesleyan Church. I realized right away that there needed to be some things done and some changes and some things. And so we were introduced into a very small facility, church facility. Probably your old facility was bigger than probably our facility that we had in Hart. It was an old cheese factory back in the 1920s and things like that, and it just was not very... Accommodating for pastoral. Anyway, so we prayed about God directing us, and the church had been there quite a while. Matter of fact, this next in May, the church started in 1869. I think Dighton Wesleyan Church started a long, long time ago too. So anyway, we were praying that God would give us a new particular place, and God gave us wisdom and direction, and our church grew so that we didn't have room enough in our church facility any longer, and we didn't have space for classes and things like that, no nursery, any of those kind of things, and so we were growing. So we're praying that God would give us direction about finding a new place, because our church was on, you had to park on the street and things like, we didn't even really have parking. So God led us to a particular place, and we were looking for property and praying about it. And just outside of town, there was a 20 acres, and it was on, right on the edge of town. And God seemed to be saying to me and to us that we need to consider that particular property. And so I found out who owned it. It was owned by Mrs. Mildred Pangburn, and lady that was in the community and her family, and it was a place, it was a dumping ground, so it wasn't a very nice property. It had 17 torn up cars on there, and it was the dumping grounds for cherry pits, because cherries and maraschino cherries and all those kind of things are from that particular area. So it was thousands, and anyway, all of it was trash, but we thought that that's a great place to have a church on the edge of town. So I went to visit her. I just prayed about it and sensed. So I went to visit Mrs. Pangburn. And I knocked on her door, and she welcomed me. And I talked to her for a little bit and asked her about the possibility of selling it properly. She said, you're with the Wesleyan Church, right? She said, we're not of that particular persuasion, so no, there isn't any way that we could sell you the property. I said, would it be all right if I prayed with you? I had enough common sense to not get angry, I want you to know. So I said, would you be willing to pray with me about it? And she said, yeah, I'll pray with you. And so I prayed for her, and then I, as I was leaving, I said, you know, I'm going to come back. So a couple months passed, and one of my board members, I asked one of our board members, and I showed up at their house. And I knocked on the door, and I saw Mrs. Pangburn, and she welcomed us in. She was a really gracious lady. And I sensed that she had this a spiritual connection. I mean, just I really believe that she did. Even though we were not of the same faith, she was receptive to us. And so I remembered that when I was in college, 6 years earlier, I was asked to preach at up north at Harbor Springs. And Denise, I don't even think we were engaged at that particular time. We're going together, and they needed a singer, and you surely wouldn't want me to sing. And so I asked Denise if she would go. So my brother and Denise and I, we went up north to Harbor Springs for a weekend, and I preached, and she sang, and she stayed in a home with a lady whose last name was Pangburn, 6 years earlier. So as I was getting ready to leave, I said, I just want to ask you a question. Do you happen to have a relative in Harbor Springs whose name is Pangburn? She said, yeah, I do. My husband's brother's wife is named Pang, is lives there. I said, 6 years ago, my wife, stayed with her. She said, she is a godly woman. Listen, there are some things you cannot make up in these quests and how God walks with you. I said, well, my wife stayed with her, and she was wonderful and just a blessing to us. Thank you for that, and just grateful for the connection. I said, is it all right if I prayed with you again? She said, I'm not interested in selling the property. So I said, can I pray with you again? And she said, yeah. So I left, and I said, I'll be back. So I came back. I said, why don't you pray? But she said, I will pray about what God would want. She had softened to that particular point. So I came back about 2 months later, brought another board member and knocked on her door. And she said, after we talked about it, she said, I've been praying about what I should do, and I believe God is leading me to sell the property to you, to the Wesleyan Church. And I was like, wow, this is a God thing. And so we prayed about it, and we said, okay. She said, you go and get it appraised and come back, and whatever it appraises for, the 20 acres, there was a little house on it that was dilapidated, and whatever they appraise it for, that's what I'll sell it to you. During that time, they announced that the expressway would be moving from north of Muskegon all the way up to Ludington, and the only exit would be Polk Road, which is where we were looking at the property. Her property was off Polk Road coming into town. People got wind of the people found out that the property, she was going to sell the property now that she asked about getting appraisal and stuff. She had people come to her and say, we will give you three times whatever amount that the church offers. She said, no, I can't do that. God wants me to sell the property to the church. Listen, God does amazing, wonderful things as we follow him. And so did we ask for wisdom? Yes. All during that time, we prayed that God would give direction and discernment and wisdom. And it's the same thing that you have been on a journey. When you moved from the little church in downtown Dighton out here, that was a ministry of involvement and prayer and determination and asking for wisdom. And I want you to know, God desires to bring wisdom to us and to direct us. And as we serve him, we know that God's plan for us is to have this kind of wisdom. And so he tells us and asks us, who of you has wisdom to come to him? So the question is, who is wise and understanding among you? A quest is part of the question. It's a good question to ask us when this quest of where we're going, who is wise and understanding among you? Why is this a good question? Because in the day that we live today, we need to be asking a series of questions about what is right and what is wrong. It is a good question because when people are placed in positions and responsibility and leadership in Dighton Wesleyan Church and other community things, we need to be asking the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Who will listen to others and be involved? In this particular, we're almost in a new year. We're in a newly elected president year. In a new time of seeking because a new pastor is coming and seeking for direction and allowing God's decisions to be made, we need to be asking the question, who is wise and of understanding? I was talking to a pastor this particular week, and we were talking about board members, and he said they were asking, they was doing some review and things like that. And he said, I had a really interesting thing. He said, one of the ladies that newly joined the church a couple years ago came up to me and said, you know, I think I should be on the board because I'm one of the newest people that have joined the church. And don't we do a rotation thing so that when you come into the church that you have an opportunity to serve on the board? And so she thought she should just be able to serve on the board. He was like, she wasn't the kindest lady to other people either. He said sometimes she demeaned people and things like that. She was learning and growing. And anyway, so we need to ask the question when we talk about people on boards and involved in that. As a matter of fact, we need to be asking that question as we talk about electing people in our community. We need to be asking who is wise and understanding, because we find that we face people or are involved in people who are not making good choices and good decisions and who do not revere others. And so who is wise and of understanding is good common sense. The quest is to ask the question about who is wise. The quest is to love and to liberate, to lead and to launch. And as we think about the quest, it is to seek it. In James 3, it says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And so we need to be seeking God's direction and God's involvement. We need to be seeking this opportunity of a quest of moving forward. Did you know that for a few years there was a hide-and-seek world championship? Anybody knew that? Yeah. There, for several years, there was 64 teams invited because when children were asked what was the most most loved game, it was hide and seek. And so there was a world championship in Italy. Just going to Italy would be fun anyway. So to seek it, we need to follow God in the sense that we need to seek Him. We need to be allowing God to speak to us and direct us. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Again, the writer of James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask it of me freely. As I've mentioned before, my dad built homes, and when we would get ready to build a home and have the lot and all that sort of thing, we would get the individual to come in and dig the place for the basement and things like that, and then we'd have somebody come in that was a contractor for concrete or laying blocks. And we had one of these houses in North Grand Rapids that we were building. It was in Plain Hill Acres. And anyway, it was a particular place, and it was an architect that designed this house. You know, Darren and Keith, anybody else involved in building. So he would tell my dad, this house is my dream house. And so his basement foundation had all of these different angles and things like this, and the roof line had five different roof lines and some straight, some, anyway, it was interesting. He would say, this is my dream house, and after we were building it for a month or so, my dad says, this is my nightmare. It might be his dream, but it's our nightmare, because when they put in the foundation, they didn't put it in the right angles. And so everything else had to be adjusted as we built the house to that particular angles. It is so important when we seek wisdom to have the right kind of foundation. Because when we have the foundation that is built on the name of the Lord Jesus, or on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, when we have that kind of foundation, it is there that we can build upon and we can give glory and honor to God. So whoever desires wisdom must seek it. It's God's plan for us, and to have that kind of foundation, we need to show it. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it. How? By their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Wherever we go, there needs to be the evidence of who is in charge of our life. As we live, we are to be the example of Christ. And we need to live that kind of life that gives honor and glory to God. Denise and I have had the opportunity to do leadership development and training in Africa, in Zambia, three different times. And the one time we took our grandson Michael with us, and we were there. And one of the places that we always wanted or desired to visit was Victoria Falls. Anybody been to Victoria Falls? Anyway, it's a place, I should have put a picture of it there. Some call it the new time about being one of the seven wonders of the world because it's so beautiful. And when the Zambezi River is flowing heavily after all the rains, it is just amazing. and it has such a deep drop. And anyway, there was an individual, David Livingston, who was a missionary, who took the Word of God and was teaching and trying to lead people. And David Livingston, on the edge of that particular place where you go in to walk into this, to see the Victoria Falls and the Zambezi River, there's a statue to David Livingston. And on that statue, this is what it says: "I will place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ." David Livingston, when you read about him, his evidence of being obedient to God was known because he desired to live out a life and to show it, to seek it, to show this wisdom of God. And it needs to be a part of our lives. We need to not only seek it and to show it, to share it. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility of hearts." Do not, when we're reading God's wisdom, we're often seeking it and asking it. But sometimes we forget that there's more, and that God will often speak to us and say, "Listen, this is what I want you to focus on. This is so important for us today." And this is the message, that true wisdom of God is shared with others. A life lived for God is not about harboring bitterness or selfish ambition in our hearts. To know bitterness is to know that something will destroy our inner being. I was with somebody recently, and we were talking about forgiveness and bitterness, and they had a deep bitterness in their life. And I said, "You know, there'll need to be a time that you need to ask forgiveness." And they'll say, "I'll never ask for forgiveness." I'm like, "Whoa." And I'd say, "You know, you won't be at peace in your soul until you ask for forgiveness." And they said, "Well, they won't respect me and they won't honor me." I said, "It's not about what they do. It's about what you do. Our responsibility is to ask for forgiveness." That's what the scripture says. And whatever they do with that, that's up to them. We need to be doing that, and we need to be living it and seeing and showing it and allowing God to speak to us, because then we find that there's a seal to it. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life," excuse me, "by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." There needs to be this permanency about this wisdom that fills our lives. Sometimes people will say, "Well, I did that once, and that should be enough." But there never should be an ending time to asking forgiveness. Christ was asked that question: "Shall we forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said, "No, 70 times 7 times. Our walk with God needs to be that kind of presence of God. So the seal of God's presence needs to be upon our life. Just like in the old days that a king would wear a seal on his ring, and they'd put the wax on it, and he'd put his ring into it, it'd seal it. The Holy Spirit needs to seal in our life this walk with him. And this whole thing about the wisdom of God, there's the qualities that are shared here in James. And he has several of them, and there's not enough time for us to spend a lot of time. But he says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I don't know about you, but my wife Denise is a list person. Anybody here a list person? She makes lists for herself and for, well, we won't go there, lists for others too. But this is a list that we need to apply to ourselves, because remember, he follows the question. He says first, "Who of you needs wisdom? Ask of it." And then he gives this qualities that need to be lived out. We find out that this way to live, how we shall live, it should be lived as heavenly, in the sense that our heart and our mind and our soul is focused on God and heavenly. It is to be pure. God's desire for us is to have a life that's directed toward Him and that is pure. It is to be a life that's peace-loving. It seeks the promise of personal resolution and not conflict. It is a life that is considerate. It thinks of others before ourselves. It is to be submissive, not to overpower others. The kind of wisdom desires for the best outcome, not about who should be first. It is about full of mercy, evidence of genuine caring for others, and not about judging, but about mercy. It is to be fruitful. The reward of this kind of wisdom pays lifelong dividends. People notice even when the acts of kindness are done anonymously. I had a friend that passed away, and his name was Irwin Gale, and Denise and I went to visit Irwin just before he had cancer, and he was one of the most giving men in the heart area. And he did so many other things. He would drive ambulance and take people. He drove ambulance, but he also would take people to Ann Arbor, and he did all of these kind of things. And so he's a week before he passed away, Denise and I went to visit him, and he's sharing with me. He said, "You know, I've had the opportunity to help others with giving money away." And he said, "I had this guy come to me years ago, and he said to me, he said, you know, I'd like to get a business started." And so Irwin gave him $25,000 to start his business. And just before we were there, he said this guy came back, and he said he sold his house. He said, "My business didn't work 20 years ago when Irwin gave me this $25,000, but I felt like before Irwin passed away, before he passed away, I want to give you that $25,000. He said he had to sell his house to bring the money to Irwin, and so he brought the $25,000 and to pay his debt. Irwin said, and when we talk about being fruitful in life, Irwin said, "So what are you going to do?" He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Irwin said, "Marie, get the checkbook." And so he wrote a check for $10,000, and he gave it back to him, and he said, "Maybe this will help you to get restarted again." Even on his deathbed, Irwin evidenced a fruitful life, and that's how he lived. And you and I need to live that same kind of life, because that's the quest of having wisdom, is living a fruitful life. It's impartial, without giving preferential treatment. And when we read James, it says it's very clear about not giving preferential treatment, not treating one person who has money differently than another person and things like that. And we would see people who would live out that kind of life. We had a guy that started coming to our church that we connected with, and he was the vice president of the bank, became the president of the bank. And we loved Bill, and we were connected to him. His son was coming to our youth group and got involved in our youth group. And then he and his wife started coming. And we also had a guy by the name of Victor that came to church. Victor rarely took a bath. And my son Jeff and I went out to visit Victor one time, and they opened the door, and it was hot, and you could hear the chickens. The chickens lived inside the house with them. About 6 or 7 dogs came out, and he invited us in. And the stench, anybody know what I'm talking about? It just kind of, it was hot. And if you ask my son about it, there's some things he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget that particular moment. And Victor would smell terrible, just terrible. But I want you to know that when Victor came in the church and when Bill came in the church, they were not treated any differently. Matter of fact, Bill would go up to him and he would shake his hand and welcome him. And often he would sit almost close to them. Anyway, I want you to know, there are people that, what's funny is before I became pastor there, a bunch of the guys took Victor one summer, and they took him down to the stream, and they brought clothes, and anyway, they cleaned him up for a little while, but anyway. But I want you to know, Scripture tells us about that, about being impartial, to be a person is sincere, wisdom that shows the test of time about that and that particular message that God has for us. It's about the quest. About 40 years ago, God began to speak to me about running 100 miles in a week. Anybody ever done that before? But anyway, so I began speaking about that. Phil looks at me like, what? Anyway, so God began to speak to me about that, and I decided I was going to run 100 miles a week, or if God allowed me to do that, for giving money to missions, and then also for eradication of polio. I was involved in Rotary, and so that we're involved in eradicating polio in the world, so I began raising money for that particular purpose. And it was kind of interesting because in my Rotary Club, we had a doctor and we had a funeral director. And my doctor attended the Rotary Club and he said, you know, if you're prepared and things like that, you can make it 100, you can make it 100 miles in a week. And I prepared. I ran, jogged, plodded, I called it. And the funeral director said, if you don't make it, I'll take care of you. So it'll be okay. Anyway. So I decided, I planned, and it was a quest of running this 100 miles in a week. And I began preparing, and I got so that I could go out, and I could easily run 12 or 15 miles. My son Jeff would ride his bike, and I would run up in the neighborhood. And so I charted this course that it would go around the county, Oceana County, and I would go by the homes of the people in our church. And sometimes they'd have water out ready for me and things like that. They knew that I'd be coming by, and so they had water. And so I planned and I started running in October. During that time, I was coaching soccer. I'd started a junior high soccer program in Hart. And so we were doing traveling team, first time they'd had traveling team. And I had four or five games, soccer games that week. I had a wedding on Friday, or a wedding rehearsal on Friday and a wedding on Saturday. And I was like, this is the week that I selected to run all of this time. So I got up the first morning in October, and you couldn't see. So I couldn't start my race till later because of the weather was so foggy, they couldn't see me. And anyway, so I began running. I would run 20 to 23 miles the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And really, I felt really good. When Thursday came around, it was pouring rain. And I don't know about you, but I don't like running in the rain. And I ran 17 miles in the rain that day. And my legs felt like they were heavy. And anyway, I ran 17 miles that particular day. When Saturday rolled around, I still had 4 miles to run. I had a soccer tournament in the morning. I had a wedding in the afternoon. And when the wedding rehearsal or reception was about done, I talked to one of the kids. They said, Pastor Tom, you can finish the race. I'll ride the bike and you can finish your 4 miles. And I did. So before midnight on Saturday night, and I had to preach on Sunday, before Saturday night, I finished that particular 100 miles in that quest for doing that. Now, I don't know if I asked the question if this was wise or not, but I want you to know I felt like it was a challenge that God had for me. In the future, there are going to be challenges that God has for us. We don't know what the final outcome will be, but it's our responsibility as we're in this race to be the person that God has called us to be. And if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God. He'll give us guidance and direction. He'll fill our lives, and he'll give us purpose, and we will be victorious through him. You and I have a quest. It is about this message about loving people so they'd be liberated, so that they would be led, and that so that ministries are launched, so that more people would be loved and led and reached for eternity. Worship team is going to come and sing. I pray that we would be prepared, and as they come, let's pray. Father, thank you for the quest that's before us. We continue to pray for Pastor Dylan and Heidi and the ministries that are taking place, the people that will be involved in driving and loading and unloading and protection. We do all of that. And God, every one of us is on a journey. That's what a quest is about. every one of us is on a journey to live the life that you've called us to live, to reach the people around us that you've called us to reach, to be the messenger of hope to people that we might not even know, or people that we do know, our family, friends, acquaintances, people that you put in our pathway, so that, God, we would love people as you loved us and love others, that, God, people would be liberated because they come to a personal relationship of you, Jesus, and that, God, we would lead them, discipling, and, God, so that we would launch out to reach more people in more ways. We pray, God, that you would be Lord of our lives. If we lack wisdom, we ask it of you, who is free to give it. Praise his name. Amen.